Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode new 52. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always,
is Pad.
And Kat.
Yay.
All right. Well. I almost sneezed. Like, right before starting, I was like, well, I don't have to sneeze. I'm not like...
Probably because
just hear like a smash because Nat just hit his face on the table. Like,
probably because that comic you got right there has a lot of dander.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm allergic to cats. I don't know how I am with lurking fur.
Yeah.
Now that I've got four cats. Thanks.
Yeah, which one is going to eat you in your sleep?
Yeah,
just so you know.
I'd like first.
I really want to talk about that. So I have the book that I was like most excited to read the past 2 weeks, and what I just threw to the top of my stack was Marvel Action Captain Marvel. I haven't been a huge fan of the Marvel Action line, but something about Sweeney Boo's artwork and name, I was like, I want to read this book. I mean, her name is Sweeney Boo. Like, how cool
Sweeney
is that?
Boo.
Shit? Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. That is awesome.
So it's written by Sam Maggs with art by Sweeney Boo. And this is
I want to know, like, where you're from or where
right?
your family originates, because that's a really interesting
name. It's an awesome name. I don't know. I'm like, but it's really, really cool.
It is a really fun artwork. I read this one, too, a few weeks ago. I feel like they have, like, so many Captain Marvel titles coming out, and they all like seem to be failing like after a few issues.
This one's only three issues anyway.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it only a miniseries?
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that was what excited me too, and that's one of the overarching feelings I have about the book, was it's like, hey, it's fun, Captain Marvel. She doesn't always have to be angsty. Like, she could just be hanging in New York and...
Did you say Ting Angst?
Yeah, exactly.
A lurking invasion happens, and she's,
she could just be hanging out with Jessica Drew and...
Watching horror movies and
then, you know, saving the world from the most adorable invasion ever.
That people are not even running from because they don't realize that it's an invasion because it's adorable cats.
Yeah, it's just a whole sorts of cats.
Yeah. The covers are great. The art is great. Yeah, this
Maybe
is just a fun
that's what
one.
Happened in my house. Is I've been invaded.
Yeah, you've been invaded by Flurkin.
Yeah.
You just sort of don't realize it.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys?
I mean, they've got free room and board, so, you know, best place to invade.
What were you reading early this week?
Oh, man. Well, I didn't, unfortunately, get to this week's comics until, like, a few minutes ago, so.
Oh, yeah.
But last week, oh, man, I don't know what it was, but. I know I'm always on about Miss Marvel, but seeing her with Tony Stark on the cover, I was like, all right, how's this going to play out? Because she has a new suit that's like a Kree alien suit, so he's like helping her like figure it out or whatever.
I was about to ask you, I'm like tell me more about this suit.
Yeah, so the suit is actually super cool. Like, when she used it in the first time, she could like, it helped her like interface with Kree technology.
Cool.
And then also it has like her iconic scarf or whatever, it still has the things, but they're actually like
pincers,
like things, like she can like use them to
Patrick's making very elaborate hand motions.
I don't know.
I'm just like thinking right now about I whip my hair back and forth. That's all
like,
I got right
you know,
now.
You know, Monty Python with sharp, nasty teeth. He's doing one of those.
Yeah, like it can do like these panels right here. It goes out and it has its camera, and then it like finds the bad guy and runs.
Oh my
around.
God! It's almost an extension of her powers.
Yeah, it's essentially like two extra stretchy arms.
Yeah.
See that? I feel like that would weird me out.
So I mean,
that makes me laugh.
It's like a sentient scarf.
Yeah, it's really silly. I mean, and awesome too at the same time. Because I was looking at that, I was like, "Those are really cool." And then like. Sure enough, in this issue, it's like, yep, it just flail around and
that's really cool.
You know, react to her thoughts and stuff like that. So cool suits.
So this makes me think, like, too, like Miss Marvel could be a new a character that fills the Spider-Man void in the MCU.
Yeah,
so
that's true. I mean, like, I feel like Marvel has played with that a lot.
Yeah,
like her being the new sort of Spider-Man.
Don't worry, they've got 87 Spider-Man, so,
exactly.
You know, because that, and no one's reading, like, any of them.
No, we're talking about MCU.
Oh.
Yeah, for the cinematic universe, not the comics universe.
My comment still stands.
My baloney has a first name?
Yeah.
Fair enough. But it's still a lot of fun. It's great. It's putting Saladin Ahmed's run is definitely putting her more in the line of, like Pantheon superheroes as opposed to, like, strictly ground-level stuff. So, it's nice to see it getting a change of pace.
Nice.
And I miss the ground superhero stuff, because I feel like all characters are going that route.
Yeah.
What, ground level?
No, not ground level. They're all going to, like,
But it still has a good bit of grounding in it, which I've always loved in the comics. So, anyway, before I continue to talk y'all's ear off about Ms. Marvel, Kat, tell me what you read.
So, I should have read this first. And the regret is still here in my heart. So we're going to talk about Justice League number 30 by Scott Snyder and James Tynion, because they are, like, knocking crap out of the park with this. And then you have Jorge Jimenez on art, who is also knocking it out of the park with this one.
That guy's awesome.
You know what I just thought about, too? Is they put Catwoman in there.
Why is that Catwoman suit not her actual suit?
Touché.
Touchy.
God damn it. But I mean, like, this is, I'm not usually one for cosmic stuff, but way to go. And by the way, the fact that Batman now has a protege that's a little star,
Jaro, is amazing.
Jaro, and he calls him father. It's great.
Yeah.
And he dresses up like Robin sometimes. It's adorable.
Reminds the other Robins who the best Robin is.
Yeah, exactly. Goodbye, Dad.
That sounds super silly.
It is. There's, so, like, there's this weird element of, like, the super friends in the middle of, like, the most cosmic high-level threat in the history, like, of Justice League.
Universe grounding. And honestly, this is honestly making me question if they're going to end a universe with them losing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, I'm like, okay, you can't just keep going down and down and down and down. Is it just going to go down and implode and we're going to reset it that way? Because that would be so awesome, and you have me.
Scott Snyder is really cementing himself to me, too, as, like, the next Grant Morrison.
James Tynion are doing, they do awesome work together, because I think they've been doing this together for the last
half. Yeah, because they, like, in terms of lead story, they both alternate, and then they have the tie together issues like this where they both co-write, so. And Jorge Jimenez has been co-writing with them on different stories. He co-wrote the Sixth Dimension story. So
yeah, that one was also insane. You should be reading Justice League if you haven't been, because it's really, really awesome. I mean,
I definitely haven't been. So.
I will warn, like, if you go from the beginning, there's a lot to digest. Like, the concept of the totality in and of itself is so hard to grasp.
And you don't actually understand the totality until this issue, when they finally explain it to you.
Yeah. I like the fact that the negative totality is the skull ship from the Doom. What do they call them? The Legion of Doom.
The Legion of Doom. And that's basically what it is. It's crazy. So it's yes.
This is the only stuff ever.
The only bi-weekly series I think that I read anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Now I have Detective Comics as well.
Oh yeah, you're right. Okay, so I have two, but point still stands. It's one of two.
Man, I'm so jealous of y'all. All the comics I like to read only come out in, like, every 3 months.
I would love that. Oh, my God. Comics really... I'm really excited that DC is going to go back to doing the whole monthly format, because it's just... It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough on the wallet, man.
Yeah.
You're going to go back to monthly?
Yeah, in 2020.
Good. I mean, technically, you could eat comics.
You could, but then they lose their value.
True. True.
That's they gain value, like, for a shorter amount of time, but
yeah.
Is my life really worth eating this? Nah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. What other stuff in the past couple weeks have you guys been excited about, just in general, like, pop culture nonsense?
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of stuff that came out of
D23.
D23.
This is not E3.
I was thinking D3, the Mighty Ducks, you know?
Yeah.
Flying V!
Oh, D3 is like D23, but it's like one-tenth the popularity. It's like five guys and one indie producer there.
That's a baby. We could just call D3 as our portion of the whole Disney thing that we cared about is D3. The 20 other things we just didn't pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I mean,
I mean, there was two things that I paid attention to pretty closely, and that was really about it, so I got the two.
You have the two?
Which were?
Which was Emma Stone as Cruella de Vil, because they announced that years ago, and I thought it died, and then they're like, yeah, by the way, here's a picture of her as Cruella de Vil. I was like, is this still happening?
it was like the trailer was like 10 seconds, right? Like,
I don't even think it was. I've just seen
the still with the puppies.
Yeah, I've just seen the still with the dogs, and then, I never remember her little henchman's name, but her henchman in the back.
Yeah, I can't even tell you the last time I saw that movie.
It's such a great movie, though.
101 Dalmatians? Not a huge fan.
Really?
Not my thing.
Yeah. I loved it. Same with the other big Disney one, Lady and the Tramp, anyway, as well.
I never cared for Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, once again, not my favorite movie. I really did like the trailer for that they showed at D23, though.
Yeah, no, that was cool that it's actually live action. Thank you, Disney, for giving us real live action,
I honestly would like to see them try and do a live action Lion King with real lions, because I feel like someone's going to get eaten.
Yeah, that's the...
They have trained lions.
Yeah, I think we've passed that idea. So.
They've already remade The Lion King once. God damn it, if they do it again, I'm going to be so sad.
Real lions, and it makes me think of, like, what is it, Star Wars, the dude who records the audio in the pink shorts, and one of the lions has pink shorts in his mouth.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Someone who records the audio, I think it's for the older Star Wars.
He
wears these bright pink shorts.
Star Wars, you're warp speeding over my head, so.
Yeah.
That's where I like to be.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars was a monster at D23. I want to talk about the Mandalorian trailer.
You gotta talk about the Mandalorian trailer.
Stormtroopers' heads on spikes. Creepy ass music from the Goran, oh crap, Ludwig Göransson, the composer for Black Panther.
Okay,
he's doing the music for Mandalorian.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
So that trailer music was so good, and then so the big D23 thing for Disney was that they were going over Disney Plus and explaining all those things, and that Disney Plus is going to be for families, so let's release the trailer where the Mandalorian...
Oh my god. That's a solid start.
It grapples somebody, pulls them forward, and then shoots the lock on a door and cuts them in half.
That's right. That did happen.
That did happen. I mean, it happened off screen, right? So it's fine. It's fine that they cut away.
Exactly.
I mean, do you really think about those things when you're a kid? I'm trying to, like, think back.
I don't think I ever did.
You're just like, that dude's dead. You never really thought about it.
How cool does everything look in that trailer, too? Like, everything looks so fucking cool. And, dirty, you know?
Dirty. It has really good production value, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, I watched the trailer just because I didn't even realize it, but that reveal at the end was with Werner Herzog. I don't even know he's going to be playing. I love that guy.
Oh, man.
And his voice, too, just listening to him talk. Like, he doesn't even have to move in the whole thing. He just sits behind that table for the whole show. Just, like, monologues. Like, I'll watch every episode of that show.
I got this feeling that he ain't making it out of the first one. Like, that is the first and last interaction he has with the Mandalorian.
I unfortunately had a similar feeling, but still, no, it looks interesting.
It looks really... I love the IG-11 droid that apparently is voiced by Taika Waititi.
Yeah, that's right.
Weird. Speaking of voices, the only one we heard was Werner Herzog. Just that one line.
Who else's voice do you need to hear?
The Red Viper himself, the Mandalorian, Pedro Pascal. I want to hear that sexiness behind the Mandalorian helmet. Come on.
Okay, fair enough.
Come on.
No, man.
Yeah.
No, I've already decided that I'm going to do Disney Plus, so it's like... Probably check it out anyway.
I
like how everybody else has that for that reason. I was just told, by the way, Hilary Duff's going to come back as Lizzie McGuire. I'm like, mother, I'm done.
With these announcements came, too, that they have officially confirmed a weekly release schedule.
That's what I assumed.
So. Yeah, and they're doing, like, full shows.
Lizzie McGuire. Something.
What do you
mean?
Yes.
I saw something, correct me if I'm wrong, but they said they want to release at least, like, one full show, like, a week for at least a little bit.
And what do you mean by full show?
Or, like, full season?
No, they're not.
Okay,
they're doing episodic. It'll be a weekly single release. Cool.
Then I totally
they took things from DC Universe, and part of me is like, yeah, that's cool. And then the other half of me is like, I gotta fucking wait.
I'm really happy about this because one of the best things about Lord of the Rings, holy shit, about Game of Thrones was the discussion point like the next day. Like the water cooler conversation.
Yeah.
So to have something like as big as like the Mandalorian or the Marvel shows, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and like, did you see that guy came? Did you see she was in that episode? Like so and so, you know, like all of those conversations you get to have the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
Or for the next week, even.
Yep. So. I can't believe that happened to that person.
Yeah, could you imagine if Stranger Things season 3 had been that way instead of like the binge watch that everybody did and being able to like catch up with everyone and
talk
about
it? You mean the lack of sleep that everybody is still okay with because they watch Stranger Things instead?
Right, yeah, that's my whole thing too today where I'm going to freaking I'm going to have issues with how much time I can spend watching The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine. It's fine. Yeah. Where am I?
It's like, I have to make sure.
Your wife just walked. Dad, it's Sunday. Shouldn't you be at work?
What? I don't know what you mean. Yeah. Did you, like, have.
I'm sick.
do you think you're going to watch Mandalorian?
I don't know. I don't usually watch a whole lot of TV anymore. It's a very, like, it's not a rare thing, but, like, I watched Young Justice.
As you should.
Yeah.
I watched Krypton, which they canceled, which, poo on you.
Bring that back to DC Universe.
Please, God, yes.
Because that's where it should have been from the beginning. Oh, yeah. So let's...
I don't know why it was on Sci-Fi. But, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think the episode... I watch things when I have time, and I like to read a lot more than I like to watch TV. And I'm like, go to bed or watch TV, and usually I go to bed. So... They had me at Lizzie McGuire, so I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'll pay $7 a month for Lizzie McGuire again. I love Hilary Duff. That's like the one person. They're like, yeah, Hilary Duff, I'll see it.
That's
She's
awesome.
Just eating a sandwich. I'll see it.
That's amazing. They also announced
like one character.
They announced Obi-Wan officially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
So, Ewan McGregor coming back, which is like the best thing they could possibly have.
Yup.
So, cool. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. Obviously the one I'm super excited for that they just announced is the Ms. Marvel show. Woo!
Where do they go from there?
Well, cause then that means they can, then Inhumans would ostensibly be canon as well.
Theoretically, and I think they've introduced Inhumans in, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they did actually, because that was like the whole like first few seasons was between Inhumans and them. Yeah. So, yeah, I wonder if they're gonna do like the royal family.
Maybe.
Also, I don't know if you saw like the logo for it, but it has like the S is like the
lightning bolt,
but then the period next to it was
the Captain Marvel star.
So like, that means that. Captain Marvel is going to be at least a small bit of that,
right? Show? Are they going to like have the idolization? Like, how do they play that into the MCU?
You know what I just thought about? Random thought, like completely out of nowhere. But Andy's been watching Young Justice. They call him Captain Marvel. I forgot about that. She's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "What do you mean, who's that?" It's Captain Marvel. And she's like, "Shazam!"
Oh,
nice. That's interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because it's. Before they're like, well, you can't use that anymore. Yeah. They're like, whatever.
Oh well.
But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
Ms. Marvel was part of an announcement where they included they're going to do Moon Knight and She-Hulk.
That's right.
See, I'm terrified to watch Moon Knight as a TV series. That sounds horrifying.
There's so many different ways they can go with that.
But
too.
They said that none of this is going to like that. Moon Knight feels like it should be an adult content kind of deal. I will say that.
You would figure, but then seeing the Mandalorian trailer, you're like, well, okay, PG-13 is pretty easy to, like, sort of...
But see, that's the thing with, like, American entertainment is you can have as much violence as you want as long as you don't have any, like, nudity of any kind.
No.
That guy's not wearing his shirt. Oh, it's a R now.
A hard R.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, seriously, watch PG-rated 13, like, action films and stuff like that, and how do they do these things? Like you were saying, there's a guy getting cut in half in the trailer, off-screen ostensibly, but, like, but still, you can do...
Yeah, there's a mother and a child, like, running from, like, death and destruction as, like, stuff is blowing up around
This is not gonna be fair, this is for a family channel. Family my ass!
Right?
Yeah, no, so...
What kind of family you got?
Yeah.
Kind of like Star Wars together.
I have been saying for years, though, like, since they started doing Daredevil, the show I really want to see is just, like, a courtroom procedural that's, like, Nelson, Murdoch, and Walters, attorneys at law.
I would not be surprised if this She-Hulk is a procedural show.
Yeah.
I really hope so, and I really hope it gets into, like, her lawyering side of it. I want her to throw the book at the you know, other person.
Right.
With She-Hulk strength.
With She-Hulk strength. I think
we need to charge you for murder. He's dead.
He was convicted.
Hulk will smash this racketeering case.
I mean, if there's a service to do an experiment like this with, wouldn't it be Disney Plus?
I mean, they have, like, 18 other superhero shows that they're going to be doing, so, like, why not make one an experimental, like, subgenre?
Right, and by the time this releases, people are going to be indoctrinated into Disney Plus already, so it's not... like, this is not your tentpole that you're, like, launching the service with. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing that with Star Wars and with the Marvel films. Like, Captain Marvel will be available on launch day. Mm-hmm. So...
Oh, speaking of weird and experimental stuff, did either of you see the Vision first image?
The teaser image?
Yeah. You saw that?
I did.
That's it was really weird.
It's really cool. I think it's going to be very, like, 1950s sitcom.
I have a feeling it's going to be, like... I don't think it's going to be funny, though. I think it's going to be, like, framed that way, but, like, really disturbing.
I think it's going to be funny, and then you're starting to realize that we're in a complete mental breakdown of Wanda.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Because then they're sitting there, and it's, like, the 1950s living room, and they're dressed up in, like, sweaters or whatever, but then, like, the shadows in the back, like, have the silhouettes of their, like...
Actual
costumes. And she has, like, the Scarlet Witch horns.
Isn't there, like, a Vision family? Is that what they're basing it off of?
I think they might be basing it off of Tom King Vision family.
So if they do that, then that's going to get really sad real quick.
Yeah. Well, if they together build a child and they build Viv together.
And her brother, too.
I think it's fine to just do, like, a trio. Like, you don't have to keep... do the whole story, but if
you can bounce up. And I don't see a nuclear family, I'm out.
Oh. So they gotta have the boy, the girl, the dog.
They gotta have a dog too, and the dog can just be like, just could be like a bill.
Doctor Strange can talk through the dog's mouth. Be like, you have to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We need you.
Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah, if there's an white picket fence, that would be cool.
There's like creepy smiling and waving. Yeah, I'm not in this.
That'll be interesting.
Well, howdy, neighbor.
Yeah. The other thing that's like that was from D23. The Eternals costumes were like shown in concept art behind the cast.
I did not see that.
It's amazing. They look like. I don't even know how to describe them. They're like cosmic metallic superhero suits without masks. Like they're casual cosmic would be the best way to describe
casual
them.
Cosmic.
Casual cosmic and very metallic.
Casual, okay.
Especially Icarus, Richard Madden looks amazing in the costume, and it's very like it has some of the Kirby-isms in there. So I was pretty excited about that. So also buff Camille is kind of crazy to me. Like.
Oh yeah, that's
it's
so just weird.
Such a weird thing,
especially because I've been watching his like stand up for like years.
Yeah,
he's just like, oh god, hilarious.
He's so
I like that. It is like cosmic casual,
right? But it's metallic-y, like right? Like there's a sheen to everything.
Yeah, that's true. It's like you know, they're just like.
So what's the attire for the event? Cosmic casual.
It's like everybody wears a slight skirt or tunic. You have to have some metallic gold or silver element.
We'll take titanium. It'll be okay.
It's okay. And then
but don't do a lot.
There has to be imagery that evokes stars or planets. Yeah. Like, that's what we're really going for. I love the aesthetic. I think it's great.
And then also the new addition to the, like, ridiculous cast already.
Which are, Kit Harington.
Yeah.
As the Black Knight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, yeah, sure. Okay, let's have a little cross pollination there.
Yeah, like, is he going to travel through time with them? Like, because they're eternal. They've supposedly, the characters have been around since ancient Egypt. Like, our ancient alien stories are supposedly the Eternals. Like, they were here before.
Nice.
So
the cast for this is just nuts.
The cast for this is insane. Just
continues to get nuts.
Yeah. You want to get nuts? Come on. Let's watch the Eternals.
Yeah.
I'm in a weird mood today.
That's right, man.
Did you guys see the Rise of Skywalker teaser trailer/sizzle reel with Dark Rey?
All I can think of now, since they did it, was the Swiss...
Army Saber?
Yeah, the Swiss Army Saber.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. I've seen it, like, 2 or 3 times.
I've seen it, like, at least 7.
Because I watched it at first, and I was like... Because, of course, it opens up and it's doing the whole, like, all the Star Wars. I'm like, you fucking with me? Are we just playing? Are you going to show me new stuff? Or are you just doing this to be like, feels? Is it me or, you know, asking for a friend? But when anybody sees Carrie Fisher, does anyone else want to cry? Just asking for a friend.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard friends say that they cried when they saw Carrie Fisher.
It makes me so sad.
But just friends. Friends of mine have said that they cried when they saw Carrie Fisher in the trailer.
Got it.
So the trailer's nuts. I mean, for something that's like a minute and 30 seconds long, it's like, what the hell are you showing me? Give me the movie,
like,
already.
The whole trailer is like, what, 2 minutes? And 30 seconds of it is them talking about everything, or...
the saga coming to an end, so recapping the saga.
The weird part is, too, is as Mark Hamill gets older, the more and more I hear him sounding like the Joker, and it's weird when he talks sometimes now, because I'm like, no, stay.
It's like, don't trust this guy.
Yeah, right.
This Luke Skywalker, never hear him laugh. The thing that really stood out to me even more than the visual elements was that they leaned heavily into Rey's theme, because Rey's theme is playing, like, a version of Rey's theme is playing as a huge overture when they're looking over the city, and then at the end of the trailer, it's like the most ominous downward path version of the theme in a different key. I don't know music. I apologize to all the music listeners out there. I think it's a major key, so it sounds slower and more methodic. But it's this weird, like, end version of the song, and it's really creepy at the end of the trailer. So it's like the trailer is almost framing it in Rey's theme, which is great because I really want the story to be about Rey. And yeah, so I'm excited. I mean, it got me excited and got me talking.
So there's the Grey Knights, isn't there?
They're not canon.
I know they're not canon, but do they have red lightsabers?
Generally, the Grey Knights were the whatever colors. They're just the multicolored Jedi lightsabers.
Okay.
So red is pretty much used for Sith.
Okay.
But things can change.
That's what I was asking.
Anyway, you really should check this one. It's pretty intense. It gets you in the feels too, because it does, like, recap.
Every time you see Carrie Fisher, you're just like, for my friends' sake. My friends say tears them on the inside. It makes them, like, you know, cry.
Right. Oh, we also didn't talk about the fact that there's a Moon Girl TV series being, like,
oh,
an anime
God.
Show.
Oh.
Why is that not on Disney Plus? Because I want that too, and I'm not going to buy some other thing to get that, or, like, have cable.
Yeah, because it's just going to be
cable, what's
on
that?
Disney. They might put it on Disney. They might do, like, a Netflix thing and then put the full season on, like, after it's already aired. Maybe.
I'm hoping for a lot of that stuff, because I really, you know what I need on Disney Plus? I need Tron Uprising on Disney Plus, because Tron Uprising is, like, the forgotten show, and it's so fucking good.
You are right. It is the forgotten show, because I don't know what that is.
Yep.
It's the story of Beck before the events of Tron Legacy. So what happens in the Tron world after the original film. It's really good. But anyway, Moon Girl should be awesome. You said somebody, Lawrence Fishburne's show running?
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne is producing it, as well as, why am I forgetting his name right now? He's co-producing it with the guy that produced Kim Possible.
That's really
like,
cool.
Low-key, one of my favorite Disney shows.
Kim Possible.
All time. So, like, and I don't know if you saw, like, the art for it, the image. It's really, I hope it's, like, all done in that.
That's
like,
the show they should bring style. Back, is give me Mom Kim Possible.
That would be hilarious if they have her, like, in the show as, like, an adult or something like that. Like, her teacher is, like, Miss Possible or something like that.
That would actually work. Mm-hmm. I could see that working really well.
Yeah, I would love a little nudge to that. But, like, I love Lawrence Fishburne. Like, he's one of my favorite, actors. And,
yeah.
Like, Moon Girl is obviously, like, one of my favorite characters if you know anything about me.
This is a perfect animated property. Like, this is a perfect sort of, like...
for kids.
Yeah.
Although I saw that they were aging her up for the show, though. It says it's going to be following 13-year-old Lunella Lafayette. And I was like, no!
She's 13?
I don't... Because it's, the, like, teenager and, like, also, gotcha. Like, for media, like, if you're making a show for 10 and 11-year-olds, you would make the character 12 or 13. You know,
So always age it up so that they can follow.
Yeah, just a couple years. I don't know. There's something about... Kids just like to read about slightly older people or whatever, but
because they think life is great up here, and then you get up here and you're like, "What have I done?
Yeah,
what have I done?"
Yep. So I kept joking. I was like, "Not my Lunella, 13 years old." Bah. But nah, it should be it. Maybe it'll be like starting high school kind of show or something like that.
As long as it has fun elements to it and science.
It's fun, like, yeah, exactly. That's all I want. Like, super fun and also really intelligent.
Yeah.
But cool.
We were talking about the episodic nature of Disney Plus a second ago. Another, like, Primal, the Genndy Tartakovsky show.
Yeah.
There's a new trailer released, but the cool thing is, I guess this is just a short miniseries, and they're treating it like event TV.
Is that going to be for Disney Plus?
No, this is a part of Adult Swim.
Okay, but it's like, cool. I was about to say, like...
But it's like, it's that idea of an adult, of event TV, where it's like, be ready to watch this day when it first arrives, you know, and like that. This looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you've seen the trailer for Primal, but it's like straight up caveman running around with it. Is it T-Rex, I think, that he's got?
It looks like some sort of... It looks like not a T-Rex, probably, but
like
some
a large
sort
raptor
of in that
thing?
Family.
Okay.
I'm not up on my paleontology, yeah. But...
this Mr. Paleontologist over here.
But it looks like a no-dialogue, all-sound-effect action show about, like, surviving in the Jurassic period.
Yeah.
See, I have a hard time with stuff like that, because that's why one of the reasons I have to listen to... I have to have dub anime instead of sub because I kind of linger.
My attention span
gets lost. I'm like watching something for 5 minutes and then 2 minutes in, I'm like reading something. You're like,
I can't do that with animation. Animation, I'm all in on. I have to be like everything else off, everything put away.
I mean, if a show's good, then I gotta watch it. But if it's not good, then I don't watch it. So like,
you don't have the drift.
I don't really find the point in watching something that I'm going to drift away from, because then I should just be doing that other thing that I drift to instead.
Batman Hush.
You know?
I mean, I sit and read and watch TV.
No, I mean,
females are weird. We have that awesome multitask ability. And I can't sit still either, so I usually have to have fidget.
Yeah.
So, that's the other problem.
I fidget a lot with stuff, but like when I'm watching cartoons, I'll doodle. Sometimes, like that.
See, and I usually end up with a Rubik's Cube.
That's kind of cool. Joker trailer, too.
Holy cow.
Yeah, made me uncomfortable.
I know there's a couple ways it made me feel uncomfortable, but in what ways for you?
Oh, it was just, like, the overall feel of the trailer just made me feel, like, it's much more exciting to me than when they first announced it, but it just, like, tonally, it's off. And like, deliberately. Like, there is, the same way, like, Blade Runner doesn't make me feel good because, like, its pacing is awkward and weird.
Mm-hmm.
I got that from the trailer already for this, where it's just, like, the way things are cut, the way he speaks, it just, like, it's very, I feel uncomfortable. Like, I feel like we're on the precipice of something bad, really bad happening. And I don't think he comes across as empathetic at all, which is great, because I don't want to empathize with him.
No, I don't. yeah, he's a cool character, and we're going to get a good movie out of it, but
yeah.
I don't want people to be like, yay, hail the Joker.
Right, it's like, I want to be the Joker. It's like, no.
Yeah, when he like, introduces himself at the end, like the way he talks, like,
he's
just like, would you introduce me as the Joker?
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of like Heath Ledger-y, but, like, less, like, sure of himself, but, like, that makes me more nervous at the same time, because is that just an act?
Well, I mean, I feel like he's just going to walk out there, like, do a couple jokes, and then slit everybody's throats. Like, it's just going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, even from this trailer as well, we're still only seeing, like, the first, like, bit of the first act.
Yeah. I think we're seeing a lot of what is the spurn of the story.
And the laugh. We finally get the Joaquin Phoenix Joker laugh.
But he's just walking through the hallway, just starts and stops. I was like, ugh.
The way he does that, he just goes into like the maniacal laugh, and then his face just drops instantly back into like
just a stoic, sullen, like just thinking melancholy. About life.
Yeah. Like, you can tell he's just, like, practicing a laugh.
Right. Well, he may not be, because he's basing the performance on a disorder that is uncontrollable laughter. Like, just in the middle of a, like, conversation, they'll just break into uncontrollable laughter. I don't know the name of the condition, but he actually studied people who have that condition to get his laugh.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that's going to be something that he suffers from. But,
yeah, and then was that supposed to be Thomas Wayne that was like the late night host, or was somebody else?
That's just like a through line character. Thomas Wayne is the running for mayor.
Okay, right, because it kept showing him, and I was like,
De Niro is playing the comedian, like the show host, the one that...
Oh, you said the comedian. Like, wait, we're talking about Watchmen now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's playing the one that has the TV show that he's going out onto.
Yeah,
and that was
Mark
Maron, who was, like, the show director, it looked like.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah, so this is, like, a hell of a cast, but...
I mean, like, yeah, jeez, it's... Oh, man.
Yeah.
When he's making the faces to the kid...
I feel like you haven't watched this yet.
I have not.
Okay,
oh,
I was like,
no. Okay, yeah. Like,
so
Kat is undecided.
I was like, either Kat's really not into this, or she hasn't.
I'm
seen
not
it.
Really super into it. I have to see it because Andy wants to.
Yes. You need to take a look at this trailer, though.
It's just one of those things of it's like the whole point to me that Joker's always been is you don't know who he is.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting character piece as opposed to being like part of an origin story for like ongoing storytelling.
Like, see, and I don't know. I've never been one for, like, say, put the Joker in a movie by himself. So, if you did him with... I don't even know. You'd have to give me a while to think about that one. But,
No. I don't think this movie's going to be for everybody, but...
No.
So, I have to go see it.
Because it's R, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not...
And that's kind of the other concern with it, too, is if it gets to... I don't know. I haven't seen any of the trailers, and it's mostly just because I've been avoiding it. But I know that I have to go see it because Andy wants to see it, so we're going to compromise and go see it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. We'll find out whether or not I enjoy it. You'll find out in October.
All right, well, do you guys want to talk about Hawks and Pox?
Yeah, I guess we kind of have to, huh?
Yeah. So we're just going to do a House of X and Powers of 10 little update on issue 3 of both issues, actually.
Yep.
So Suicide Squad... Oh, wait, I guess we should talk about Moira first, huh? Because Moira...
You mean the fact that either they're like... I think it was you who said it, but you're right, which is the entirety of the X-Men universe... depends on her being alive or not.
Yeah, the entirety of the Marvel Universe.
Is it the entirety of the Marvel Universe?
I think every time that she dies, a reset happens. But what I think was really interesting is that we get the reveal of what Powers of 10 is. Powers of 10 is Lifeline 9.
Yep.
So the... Well, excuse me, not Powers of 10. I shouldn't say that. The X times 1, or X to the 100th power, is Timeline 9.
So we still don't know what 6 is.
We still don't know what 6 is. No. that was not in either of these issues.
I think we need to talk about how great Scotty Young is. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Scotty Young's amazing.
And they keep advertising some, like, Scotty Young project in the backup.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, so... But these two issues were lovely.
Lovely, yeah, okay. that's not the word I would choose, but okay.
I liked Wolverine for the first time in a long time. When
they
actually
blew him apart.
Well, and they had him kill Moira as, like, as the final moment, you know. So, yeah, so they...
And
Moira's
wasn't killed all the way, either. So it was just, like, some literal muscle just, like, stabbing her.
It's really cool. What did you think about these two?
You know, honestly, like, I get really confused with this kind of stuff. Because I have no... This is the first time I'll probably read an entire X-Men story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like... Oh, no, I take that back. I did read House of M. But, so, like, once you start throwing all the different mutants at me that are, like, pretty deep cut, I start to kind of, like, glaze over. And it's already a pretty complex read as it is.
Right.
That the fact that he's using, like, the entire mutant pantheon for this. Like, I have no idea who Nimrod is. It seems integral part of this story. Yeah.
Nimrod has never been he's been sort of fleshed out, but he's way more fleshed out in this as being, like, the answer of death of mutants. So did anybody else feel real stupid when they read the beginning of Powers of 10 number 1 and there was the listing of, like, the mutant family and Mother Akaba, mutant pureblood, and didn't go, oh yeah, that has to be Moira?
Now I feel dumb.
I was just like, duh, who else is Mother gonna be?
Oh yeah. And it looks like there's four letters there on her name too. And no, those are all, never mind. I'm trying to read the language.
Oh, yeah. Which there's a translation at the end of House of...
Yeah. Well, there's a translation at one of them, and I can't remember which one it is.
But
I think it's mutant. That symbol, those symbols mean mutant pureblood, because they're on all the purebloods. Yeah, so is there a possibility that House of X that we're reading right now is Timeline 6? Because it certainly looks like a lot of mutants that are in the X-Men comic book are dead now.
See... I'm starting to wonder if House of X is the final timeline.
Like, a timeline not listed, or a timeline, like, Timeline 10?
Timeline 10.
Timeline 10 is the most obvious answer, but, like I said, it seems like Cyclops and that group were basically a suicide squad. Like, they went to...
But, if you remember what he says, I don't think they actually die. I think they end up getting reborn on Krakoa.
Interesting. So, like, you think that that's... That's not a, like, a sort of, you will always be around because Krakoa is around, that, no, like, literally, we'll just regrow you?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's dark.
I honestly think that, because one of them even, I think at one, because doesn't Wolverine say that he's not Wolverine per se, but he's Wolverine?
Does he really say that?
I think it's in one of the issues, yeah. I don't think any of them are the actual originals. I think they're all just...
So the originals might still just be, like, underneath the Krakoa thing, like,
uh-huh.
being... Which goes back to the first issue when we were discussing that.
In the pods, them coming out.
And
I think I mentioned something along those lines that, like, it could just... This is all Krakoa's machinations to essentially, like, recreate mutant kind in its... image, I guess.
And the other thing about House of X, and you said, I think Moira might be in charge of Krakoa. Like, Moira might be the one controlling it.
So she's pulling... She's pulling its strings, and it's pulling everybody else's strings.
Yes. Because Moira's not present. She's never seen in House of X.
It's true. Well...
The only time we see her is inside of Powers of 10 at the beginning, or seemingly the beginning of the House of X timeline... When she is her and Xavier are recruiting Magneto to do this elaborate plan.
That's why I honestly think that all of the mutants that they have aren't actually Scott and Jean. I think they're little Krakoa clones.
Which is
because
really
when they say that when they're all born, they're all implanted with
the memories.
The memories,
but it's
and
a
the
psychic
language.
Implant, right? Like that's.
I think it's Krakoa that does it, though.
Yeah. Which Krakoa seems to have some sort of a psychic ability as
which,
well.
Which, I mean, if you psychically implant just an alphabet into somebody's mind once they get there, then what else can you psychically implant along with it?
See, and this is where, like, honestly, I'm getting a real huge dystopian feel from a lot of this, because the other part of it is looking at just the covers, which can honestly mean nothing and something for all the X-Men series that are coming out. I don't think you don't see Charles Xavier on any of them.
Not to my knowledge.
So I'm honestly wondering if the bad guy here is actually Charles.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. But, I mean, all of this is Moira's plan. And we know this now, that it's all because of Moira's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So, is she the bad guy, or is he the bad guy, or is Krakoa the bad guy? I guess those are our top three candidates, huh?
Yeah.
Or is anybody a bad guy? Is anybody truly evil?
I mean, if there's anything we're learning from the story, that's really the case. Because Magneto has always stereotypically been the villain, but... Mm-hmm. People love him as the anti-hero because he has his own motivations, you know?
I mean, but in then going over to House of X, like, are the humans the villains in this? Like, yeah.
Because they're building a giant thing to basically, that's going to create genocide for mutants.
Yeah, like, that doesn't sound like a good guy thing to me.
Well, so I'm just saying Xavier is the bad guy just in the sense that I feel like... I'm honestly starting to wonder if all the X-Men are actually underneath Krakoa, and he's just reproducing ones that will... Not that they won't do things for him, but they have a moral compass that'll stop them from doing certain things.
Yeah. So this is a version of the X-Men that is completely under Charles's control.
Yeah.
But if it preserves the mutant race, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, on a cool side note, tangent to this, Hickman has confirmed that the X-Men, like, main X-Men title after this is single issue stories. So, because people have been like, oh, the first issue seems to be, or the first cover was like, okay, so this is all the Summers family. He's like, well, each issue is going to have a different cover with a different team because each issue is going to be its own single story. So,
see, that actually sounds interesting to me. I might actually keep that title.
Yeah. I think that one's going to be a cool jumping on point for people to be like, I'm going to read a one-shot story about the X-Men, and then I get to see a different team of X-Men.
So, I'm honestly wondering they're like, well, here's Human Utopia, and here's what happens in X-Men Utopia.
Yeah.
They're all equally terrible. All bad.
But good book, right?
Oh, no, awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. Because the other part of it is that weirds me out is Apocalypse is a part of all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's weird.
He's awesome.
He's not trying, you know, he's trying to, he's a mutant, and if all mutants die, then he'll die too.
Yep.
I mean, I know that.
Also, just on a small note, though, it always weirds me out that Apocalypse has an A, like, on his belt. I mean, obviously for Apocalypse, but, like, shouldn't it be, like, an Egyptian hieroglyph or something like that?
He's
like,
a shapeshifter, though. So he can just make it whatever he wants it to be. So in the modern times, he's made it an A.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
just in case you forgot who he was.
I mean, which is the entire topic of this cover.
Oh, is it? Yeah,
I'm not really sure about this.
Scotty Young is talking about branding of villainy. Yeah,
the key to classic villain costume is letting them know what letter your name starts with.
Yep. And Magneto has like three M's on his cover. On his costume, that's hilarious. Oh, Scotty Young, so silly. This cool. House of X is also had one of my favorite scenes.
I forgot
scenes.
The second one was Iceman. Well, you said we can wear whatever we want.
Well,
the trial of Sabretooth.
Oh, yeah.
And they just come in, they're like, well, now there's diplomatic immunity.
Like, so peace.
I love it when they come in, like, you know, these classic mutant creatures, and then they're just like, oh, diplomatic immunity.
So
that's this real world thing.
There's even something real quick with that is they call her mom.
Yep.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Because isn't the Stepford Cuckoos are, like, somehow clones of Emma?
I believe so, that they are clones of her, but I still... Like that, in my head, a clone would—I don't know.
Hey, don't judge clones, Kat.
Yeah,
that's
this
prejudice.
Story is weird, and I feel like that's going to be something that is like a hint to actually what's going on at Krakoa.
You're probably right.
It's weird, and if it means nothing, then I'll deal with it later.
All right.
Or will I?
You may have unlocked something if the... Oh, man. Yeah, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
All right. Happy epiphany. There's an epiphany.
Yeah. Nice. Epiphany, go!
All right, well, then I guess we should probably say bye then.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.